a nice, you know, set of pots for the kitchen or some tools for the yard or whatever as an anniversary or birthday gift or something. So.
I bought him a weed whacker and a bush trimmer for Father's Day.
Yeah. Just how it goes, I think, sometimes over time. So we're continuing in our Finding Faith off the Beaten Path series. And, you know, one of the things I think that sometimes we think of that more situationally, about circumstance, about events, but that can also mean people or who our fellow travelers are. And so as we're wrapping up that series here for the summer, I thought that that was an important thing for us to look at. And that's one of the things that Wendy, I think, has a lot of powerful things to share with us. As I've been going through this series, right, I've been trying to find different things that help us think about that full range of meanings around all the paths that God can walk with us on. Last week we talked about the famous Robert Frost poem and learned some new things about it. But I've tried to keep an eye out for just different things that help me remember that. And so one of the things is, what are common paths that I'm seeing people go down or choices that people are making? And how do we come at that with the perspective of our faith? And one of the things that stood out to me recently, I don't know if some of you have noticed this too, but like on social media, a thing that I'm seeing a lot of that kind of gave me pause to think about, and it's more complex than it's going to sound when I first talk about it now. So make sure, hopefully we won't put you to sleep through like the next few minutes. We're going to look at it from a few different ways. But I've been seeing a lot of people kind of proudly talk about all of the folks that they're blocking on social media, and not just blocking on social media, but like cutting out of their lives. This person has an opinion I don't like. This person's part of a group that I have problems with. This person has some things about them that make me feel uncomfortable. And so I'm getting all of that drama away from me, which I can understand and empathize with, but also as a pastor who has people that I've worked with, who has people that I love, who are saying that about each other for different reasons, and I want to feel connected to both of them. Again, it at least makes me say, like, what do we do with that? Like, I do understand the idea of it can be exhausting sometimes to feel like you're in the middle of negativity or argument or tension. But I do believe that we also worship a God of reconciliation. So how do we hold all of those things together and make sense of it? And one of the things that I especially appreciate about being married to Wendy and talking to her about and hearing what is going on in her life is that she is a person who, in fact, consistently goes out of her way to connect with people that are the type of people that other folks would often cut out of their lives. And she works together with people and helps them find a common cause that otherwise they might be tempted to say, I disagree with you too much. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And she finds ways for them to work together. And so the idea of how do we make sense of that? How does God help us find our way, give us the spirit to know the best way to deal with those tensions? Wendy seems to me like a wonderful person to hear from, learn from, and to share her own experiences with. So Wendy, I'm curious, for you, as you're navigating those types of relationships, what does that look like? How have you figured out some things about faith when there are people that otherwise we might want to cut out or not know what to do with?
Trying to understand who Jesus is and what it means to follow God is to, you know, that God is always present with those who are suffering and people who are going through hard times, and that God is with us, and especially with people who are perceived to be outside of the, you know, acceptable norms of society, if you will, or the teaching of the religious community. And I think that not only that, but that God cares about injustice and oppression and how to make justice happen and people to be able to be free of, you know, our story in the Bible of the Israelites leaving the oppression of the Egyptians and God being with them. And bringing freedom to people. And so, you know, in the stories that we've heard Jesus this morning, you know, Jesus is being reprimanded or questioned for his acceptance of a woman who is in sin. Lots of sin. I don't mean sin. Is it, you know, whatever that may look like, we don't really actually know. One can make a lot of assumptions. But, you know, associating with that person or letting them touch you or demonstrate connection and emotional connection to you, even she's weeping, I think is something that I think that we're called to do for following Christ. So I was telling Rob about some stories. He's like, you have to have stories. And so one of the examples that when we were talking, I was like, well, I can tell you a story from last week. So, you know, I don't know if everybody knows. I mean, that move along, or is that it?
No, it's a fly.
Oh, okay. Ooh. We're in trouble. Okay. Now it's bothering me. So last week, I don't know if you all know, in my job, I help our organization helps people who are coming out of prison and jail. That's one of the things that we do. We do other things. I needed to step in because of a situation that was happening, and it was over the weekend, and so I went to meet an individual who was coming out, and we were putting up in a hotel. And, you know, everybody was kind of scrambling because we didn't have a lot of lead time, and so... We met and we were meeting at a Popeyes. and so, you know, I was really aware. I mean, I think I was even wearing these pants. I dressed like more professional-ish. And, you know, the guy we were meeting, I mean, he was just wearing the things he probably just got out of prison in. I had another colleague of mine who was there, who's a very, like, fashion-forward young man. So he had all these, like, floral things happening on his shirt. And another guy who is also just came out of prison. They have some really significant crimes. Let's just put it that way. And the one gentleman had tattoos just like all over his body and his face and everything. And I was like, okay, like, here we are. I'm like pretty hyper aware of my surroundings. And, you know, we're having lunch and talking about stuff. And, you know, it's sort of like, I think that, you know, these are people that people would, at least the one gentleman would be very quickly judged and seen to be very, people were, you know, be afraid of him. I don't know, I just was like, but this to me is like, this is, even though we all look very different, we are all there actually trying to solve some problems and extending a lot of compassion and care for one another. There was also a gentleman who had come down from the actual prison system, and so he was sort of dressed, I mean, he works for the prison system, so he was, you know, a different you know, generation and everything. So, anyway, I am really rambling.
That's okay. Okay. I mean, that is a very motley crew, right? If you can picture walking into a restaurant, and how many times have you seen at one table, you know, a young woman kind of dressed like she'd be going to work, and then an older gentleman dressed even fancier than that, and then a couple dudes, you know, in basically probably look like kind of old, were probably in one of those shrink-wrapped bags in the prison for a long time, tattoos all over them. That's not your normal dinner company. And if you saw it, you'd wonder, there's probably a story going on there. Something is a little bit funky. And it's exciting that what we would say is that, well, the story is kind of like the story in the Bible, where Jesus is at a Pharisee's house, a really important person, and he's brought along all these people that are also welcome because of him. And that includes someone who that Pharisee's like, they would not ever be in my house otherwise. And because of that interaction, that we see transformation and healing and learning come to lots of different people. So in what way do you think that motley crew and what you were doing is kind of like a nice microcosm of what your work is overall?
Yeah, so I've been doing work, not just direct services like that, but like working with different groups and different faith traditions. I worked in an interfaith organization in California, working with coalition building that brings together a wide variety of different stakeholders. And I always find, you know, myself, and nowadays I think it's even more pronounced because of how I just feel like we're getting even more polarized. We may be coming together on a particular topic that we may all find some agreement on, but oftentimes the folks that I'm working with don't always like each other or trust each other. And I'm kind of, building these relationships and then sometimes translating language and, you know, not English language, but translating, you know, the way that people are looking at things in order to try to help facilitate coordination on an event or some type of work that we're doing. And, some of the other things that I've been involved with, and so that can be awkward, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, we also do work where we bring people who are, you know, low income or directly impacted by prisons or substance use or other things like that to come into meetings with professionals or lawmakers in order to tell their stories and to be heard at the table. And we help kind of empower that and support that and stand alongside folks. And so I'm constantly kind of bringing together a range of people. They call them strange bedfellows, which is, you know, probably not an appropriate phrase for us for a talk in a church, but I think that it's really interesting because you learn so many different things and you're sort of able to, it teaches me how to like be curious about people more and to sort of hold relationships in a different kind of way as we work towards, you know, some goals that we believe are actually going to help benefit vulnerable people.
So I imagine it's really exciting. Like some of the things that happen is you will have people who have gone through experiences in their life, felt like often they would have to walk, and then you're able to walk with them and see them like walk into a city hall meeting or into a meeting with a legislator and say, this is my experience, I want you to hear that so that you can make a decision about something that's coming up before you that will help people like me. And that people who are at their lowest will come up to their highest because of decisions that you make. And a person who normally would not be seen as having a lot of influence or say suddenly has this amazing impact on the world around them. You get to see people, because they're willing to interact with each other, have new wonderful things come into their life. You're able to see people look at each other in ways that they wouldn't have been willing to look at each other with if they never met. And that's all really wonderful and exciting. But you mentioned that sometimes stuff is kind of awkward or hard too. Is there something that for you that you'll just admit, like, when you're doing this, because probably for a lot of us we think, okay, that's great that some people are trying to do that, but that just feels really overwhelming to me. Like, what for you, if you're honest, is kind of tricky?
I've done a number of things that I couldn't say about this. It is hard. Hopefully this is okay if I can say this. I mean, I sort of approach people with the idea that I'm, like, seeing the best in them and, like, what we can find commonality upon. And wanted to give people a lot of grace and leeway. There are definitely times that you sort of learn later. You know, people aren't always being completely honest, and you know, that can be a bit difficult. And so I've learned how to also carry some boundaries and to be, you know. It's hard, like, I want to build relationships with people, but I also need to be honest if people are demonstrating things that are really, you know, not working towards the end goal, but maybe towards more self-serving purposes. And so that's something I have to watch for. But I also think it's hard when, you know, there are people that I care about that I know personally. This is what happens, is people that I know personally, that I have maybe had a relationship with for years, and then another group over here that I'm also working with that I also know personally that are making lots of assumptions and sort of wide, broad brushstrokes about this group of people, and having to sort of, like, not wanting to necessarily fight with or people, but, like, how do I and people will think, well, because you associate with those folks, it causes some skepticism, or folks may look at me a little bit more like, are you really, like, what are you really doing, you know? And that's actually uncomfortable. I mean, because it's hard to kind of have your feet straddling multiple groups and to feel, you know, just confident in who you are. And, I mean, those are things I've had to really work through. And there are times that I question, is this the best thing to be doing right now on particular topics? But, you know, I feel like the approach that I take and my concern and care for people is what I want to lead me forward. And so I haven't, you know, completely left this work yet. Still doing it.
Yeah, and I think it's really good that we are honest about what it can take sometimes. That while it's very exciting and we should feel like if God is leading us somewhere and Jesus is modeling something for us, we figure out how to follow, but not sugarcoat it. And it's okay if we have those questions and feelings like that. The idea of doing this type of relationship work, especially depending on how far away from me I start to go, that feels really intimidating, and it's good to be honest about that. God's honest about it too, and will walk with us there. But then it's also good to remember that sometimes we can start to sort of logic ourselves into stepping away from something that God might actually be walking with us on, and is giving us support. We kind of try to walk ourselves back. And the place that I know that can happen the most is where we say, not just that I feel uncomfortable, that I need to figure things out, but that we say, I have to make that break because I can't connect myself to this person's darkness. I have to protect myself from their darkness, their wrongness, their failure. I can't be associated with that. I can't get sucked into that. I don't want people to think that I'm that same type of person, or it's too bad. I can't bring myself to go and be in that same place with them. And that happens to all of us. I know this is kind of a silly one, but recently I went to the Crew game with Aislinn and Cohen, and we sit in the sort of loud fan section where it's general admission. So Cohen wanted a drink. I went to go grab a drink with him. Aislinn was saving seats. And she texted me while we were doing that. A bunch of people just came and, like, filled up where you were sitting, so we might have to move. And I
can get kind of angry in adversity sometimes. I feel like someone who I care about is like being pushed around. So I walked up the steps to where she was, and I saw this group of kind of younger people who, I admit, like, they annoy me at crew games. It's like some young women who look like they basically like wanted the crew game as a background for their Instagram feed, and some guys with them that probably just wanted to be there to try to show off for the women. And I was just like, I mean, even if we're next to them, it's going to be obnoxious. But the fact that you, like, made my daughter feel uncomfortable and didn't talk to her about whether she was trying to say teacher, it just made me mad. And so I just walked up and just kind of said, before I even talked to them, asked questions, anything, said, you guys all need to move. She was saving seats. You basically just came in like she didn't exist. She's 12 years old. Be cool. Like, we're going to have a place to sit. Because it's been filling up. It wasn't easy for us to go otherwise. I came in hot. And one of the guys was, like, kind of pushing back. And that, to some degree, justifiably, he's like, you know, we didn't tell her she couldn't. We just didn't talk to her. And for me, I'm like, well, decorum is you ask somebody if they're alone and there's seats around them, can I sit here? And you ignoring a 12-year-old, like, I think that, but I was still coming in too hot. I was making it, I was not only defending Aislinn, I was also saying, I associate you with things that I don't like, so I feel justified in being this way towards you. And then, of course, what happens? Like, they end up letting us move in. And then one of the girls, I think, probably got, like, that's a dad watching out for his daughter. Maybe she's experienced that, too. And she just starts having conversations with Aislinn the whole game. They're talking about, like, how she grew up playing soccer, and she's asking Aislinn about her swimming. Whenever the crew did anything good, she was talking to Aislinn more than her friends about, like, how it's so great that they're doing good, high five, like, yeah, we're so excited. And they had the best time. And I would never have assumed that that was the case. And, you know, I mean, maybe to some degree they wouldn't have done it if she didn't feel like she was mending fences from what had happened. But I got stuck in my own darkness and let that come out because I was projecting darkness on all of them to be good. And we can have our own versions of that all the time. And especially as Christians, when we separate ourselves for those types of reasons, what we're risking is a couple of things that we need to keep in mind. One is that it's acting like the darkness is more powerful than the light that we have. The Bible says specifically that that is not true, that the one that is within us is greater than the one that is within the world. Jesus regularly touches people that would have made him dirty. Like, to his culture, he wouldn't have been able to go into the temple, but he says, nope, I have something in me that's going to heal and bring wholeness to that. That's not going to mess me up. And, again, we don't want to get into a place where, because we're separating based on projecting darkness onto other people, well, one, even if we want someone to improve, if we leave them alone and don't give them support and hope, how are they going to improve? They're just going to be stuck in that. And secondly, it's a really good way for us to never have to look at our own things that need transformation. That someone else could have spoken into our lives and said, I can bring you along with this too. Or you would realize something like, I would need to realize that even when I feel so smug about how I'm, you know, watching out for Aislinn, that I could be a jerk to somebody in a way I didn't need to. I could have just said, hey man, can we make room together? Like, I know you're excited about the game, but my daughter was trying to save seats. Can we sort this out? That probably would have been way better. I mean, somebody made up for my mistake, but we don't want to get sucked into that type of stuff. And it's very easy for us, the more that we do separate ourselves from people who are different, that we can call the stuff that we struggle with just normal, because no one's saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that all the time. So you can just justify it for yourself, and you lose that opportunity that God could do to help you grow and develop in your life. And ultimately, Aislinn and the girl that we were with, the woman, like, they experienced that a lot better than I did at that game. And I want more experiences like that, so I got to make sure I open myself up to it. Wendy, what are some values that you have learned in your work that help us root ourselves more in that sense of what God can open up and less about projecting darkness or assuming or missing things about ourselves?
So, my notes. So the first thing is that, you know, some of the work that we do with the criminal justice system, we
are promoting restorative justice, and I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of that, but one thing that is one of the sort of tenets or concepts with the restorative justice approach, which is more about healing and repair than about punishment and sort of, you know, you were bad, they go over there. It's more about asking, not what did you do, but what happened to you, right? So when you're dealing with somebody in a criminal justice setting, it's asking what happened to them. Like, you're curious, like, how did they get to having done this action instead of just like, what action did you do, and now, so I think that that's something that curiosity with people and trying to like genuinely care about where they came from and what their backstory is, I think is just fundamentally a good way to engage with people for whom you may feel judgmental about, or that you don't approve of their behavior or whatever. The second thing that Rob is sort of saying is being humble about your own imperfections and being able to empathize with others. I know that people who, when I hear their story and I hear what happened to them, and I understand, and really, truly, I'm only hearing a very, very small smidgey of what happened to them, and a little bit about the context, you know, I can't possibly know what really this person's whole life was like and all of the emotions and context surrounding, we'll just put it in a criminal justice setting, the crime that they've done. But when you hear those things and you see the humanness in all of it, it's very, I mean, there are times when I'm like, well, gosh, you know, like, even though that may be breaking a law, who am I to say that I wouldn't do the exact same thing if I was in that situation? Like, I might have. You had it, or you have a bad, anyway, being humble about, I'm moving, and empathetic with others. People oftentimes are making decisions in a very limited context and are not always trying to just be like, bad, quote-unquote. I think the other thing is like believing in the need for transformation for everyone, and that can happen for anybody. And honestly, I think if I, and I hold this, I'll just say this, and this is one thing that I'll say, that I know not everybody likes. So in the church, we tend to actually have compassion for people who are coming out of jail or prison or struggling with these things. I think that that's generally, well, you know, not too hard, at least in the teachings of the church. But if we believe in the ability for people to change their lives and to make decisions that can heal and change their mind about things, I also just believe that people in the echelons of power are also people who can also change their mind. They have backstories. You know, we can. That is not common. I know that there's a lot of power dynamics in that, and a lot more to it. But I think it's important for anybody that we approach that we believe in the ability for transformation and in the spirituality that's inside of them, and God's ability to work on their hearts and as well as our own. And then working together for the ultimate reconciliation includes righting wrongs and reshaping relationships and power dynamics into something truly new. So I just think that I think about also my own personal journey. I'm quite aware of the fact that things that I grew up with and I was surrounded by, and things that I did and believed and framed my perspectives, have changed over time. Like what I, and I actually think that's good. So like what I believe now as a almost 40-year-old person is not the same as what I believed when I was 20, and is not the same as what I believed when I was 12.
And if I am humble and honest about my own journey and my own ability to rethink and grow, and you know, why would I look at somebody who I'm encountering at, and I'll be done, this is my last comment, I know, at one, you know, snapshot in their life, you're seeing like a snapshot of their life. But who is that person 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? If I feel really justified in judging them for what I see right now in their life, you know, they may be very different. And what is my role? How could I have played a part in that? Because there's people in my life that held space for me that didn't necessarily agree with me, you know, that gave me the permission to really think about the things that are driving my life. And we don't change our perspective by somebody else preaching at us, no offense. But we change it from people, you know, from our own selves. We know that in recovery, like in people with addiction, you know, you can't force someone to change their behavior. They have to do it themselves. And you're creating space for them to be aware. So, I don't know. I think in order to care about reconciliation and transformation, we need to believe in people's ability to change and to celebrate that, assuming that they're changing towards God's calling them and you're, you know, pulling them, and that we're participatory in that, you know, in the spirit that's calling them. So those are some of my thoughts, I guess.
So thank you. And believe it or not, I'm not wanting to take this time together and say, and by the way, we're going to have a big potluck with people with, like, most tattoos contest next week, or everybody's got to go and do prison ministry or work with people in addiction, or think of, you know, kind of the most extreme example of that. Some of us may feel like we would want to do something like that, but I don't think that means everybody is called to all of those same things. But I'll bet all of us have at least one person in our heads that we can think of that's like, yeah, or one type of person. Maybe you know that type of person makes you uncomfortable or has been really frustrating for you, and you haven't had them around in your life in a while. But you know, like, yeah, that's somebody who is not easy for me to connect with, but maybe God is even giving me a little bit of a prompting to figure out a way to go off a beaten path and have a different type of encounter and a new type of relationship. And that's what I want us to take away from this, is just that openness for God to show us, like, who's the people that maybe even is a little bit hard, but that they're in our spheres of connection, and God will help us figure out how to move forward. And that doesn't, by the way, mean, and I really do want to emphasize this, it doesn't mean that you can't have healthy boundaries. There are ways in which you're going to have interactions with people and say, that's just destructive for both of us. At the very least, this type of interaction with you, we can't have that be the thing that happens. That's not a bad thing. What we're talking about today is not saying that you aren't allowed to make those types of limits, or even say that in seasons, I'm not going to spend time with this particular thing because it just brings up too much for you. You are allowed to do that, so I'm not trying to say that. But we do want God to redefine and reshuffle the ways that we have our definitions around our boundaries. Because right now it's very easy for us to think of a lot of things in our culture, in our society, in our lives that tell us, you have to be team this, you have to be team that. And if you are, then that means that you have to be completely pure from any thought or connection or interaction or whatever with somebody from the opposite team. Everything about that opposite team is evil and horrible. There's nothing redeeming about them. And those are the things that are influencing how we make sense of the world right now. But I don't think that those thoughts are the ones that God wants us to have. We do need to set healthy boundaries, but the ways we set those boundaries, the teams that we choose to be on when God comes into our life, will hopefully change and transform. And so I chose the Ecclesiastes passage today because that question, for whom am I toiling, just like stood out to me. And sometimes that's saying, like, are you just doing this for yourself and you're missing out on something else? Sometimes it's, there are other people who are telling me I have to do X, Y, and Z to be accepted by them, and it's making me make choices that maybe are not even the best for me. Like, why am I letting that person define everything about me? Doesn't mean that I have to cut them off, but maybe I don't operate in my life the way that they're telling me to and pressuring me to, that I can be more open and have the way that God wants me to interact with people be more deterministic. And that's what I want us to do. And for me, hearing Wendy talk about this stuff and the values that she's learned, I want to be team curiosity. I want to be team humility. I want to be team empathy. I want to be team transformation. I want to be team reconciliation. And it is true that there are times where if I do that, other people will find those ideas offensive, and I will have to set a boundary and say, I have to live into these values. And if you're not on board for that, then that means we won't overlap in this case. And that's okay. But I do know that that hopefully means that when I am on that team and God helps me, that there will be people who I would otherwise say, I don't want you around, that I will then have the opportunity and maybe even responsibility to have a healthy interaction with. And that's what I'm hoping God will help us all with. And I encourage all of you, again, to just think of that one person who's like, yeah, it's not easy for me. I want to just take a couple steps. I want to open my door just a crack even. And I want God to tell me what definitions of who I define who those people are in my life should I use. Is it something that somebody else is putting pressure on me and that is not using God's values, or is it from God's values? And just explore that. It may be that you don't even have that relationship or interaction for a long time because you're going to take your time for God to help you get there. But I just want us to think about and be open to that. Is there any last word that you have?
I like what you said about team.
Last word.
Yes, that was my
last.
I just think my big thing I want to say is just, obviously, we don't live out those values and put up with abuse. Right? Abuse from people. Or if you have trauma and somebody is, you can't have that kind of interaction, like, that boundaries are very good. So I just want to reiterate that, and it doesn't mean that, you know, there may be some things that you can't engage with a person about, but you may be able to engage with them about something that's completely different. And if that relationship is one that you find to be important or that you want to invest in, it's okay to just, like, not talk about the things that you guys can't talk about. Anyway, I just wanted to say that too. So, thank you.
We're going to move now into our time of communion. And so if you haven't gotten a chance to, Tack or Tom will probably be happy to help you get one of our little communion